From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first trading day of the month, December the 2nd. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. Ed Ossid will be here from University of Minnesota. He's an agricultural economist. And meteorologist Mark Russo will join us from Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world, where we're urging you now to sign up for the December 13th, that's a week from this Friday, Farm Assets Conference. If you've not taken a look at the agenda, do so today. I'll tell you more in a minute, but get yourself signed up. Don't wait. Register at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day at $4.24 a bushel, a penny and a half higher. The March down a half at $4.32 and May corn at $4.39, 0.75 cents lower. January soybeans, $9.85 1/4, down 4 1/4. The March at $9.91, down 5. And next year's November soybeans, 5 1/4 lower at $10.05 1/2. The bean meal futures at $2.83.40, down $3.70. The bean oil at $41.27, 34 cents lower. Wheat futures for the soft red up 5 1/4 at $5.37 1/2. And the December, the hard red December, 3 higher at $5.23 3/4. It is important to note, however, that in both the hard and the soft red winter wheat, the deferred months are lower from each of those December contracts on out. Live cattle futures at $187.92 1/2 on its last trade, 70 cents lower. Feeders finished at $2.62 1/2, lower at $256.85 per 100 pounds. And lean hogs today, $87.95, $1.62 1/2 higher. Crude oil at $68.04 a barrel, about 3 cents higher. Diesel fuel at $2.17 1/2, that's heating oil, down a penny and 7 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline today at $1.91 6/10 cents, a penny and 7/10 cents higher. The Dow is around 145 points lower at 44,910. Now here to join us to discuss what happened in the marketplace, particularly in agricultural commodities, is Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. Hello, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here for a snowy Monday, first day, trading day of December.
Yeah, indeed. Cold, snowy, first trading day of December. The Bears had Thanksgiving. Will Christmas be more bullish?
Boy, I hope so. It's just no giddy up in the marketplace whatsoever. It seems the market gives a little bit of hope and takes hope away. But it's going to be important for beans to try to draw the line here at these lower levels. The front end of January is kind of holding the line, but the back end's kind of made some new lows and trying to carve out, you know, a little bit of a reversal type action if we get that job done. Sold 134,000 tons of beans to China, sort of routine business. And when you look at the shipments, particularly even today's shipments, it came in within trade expectations, almost 77 million bushels. Corn shipments, 37 million bushels. So we're shipping out what we sold. Trade continues to talk that maybe this might kind of be front loaded, but what we're seeing is some decent demand. Basis is firmed up, but the market's just failing to react due to the idea that South American weather forecast remains favorable for the most part. Some analysts will start to up their yield or production prospects here as we turn the calendar area into 2025. So that's going to kind of keep a lid on the marketplace. But kind of the news item, I'm not much of a dollar index fan, but the dollar strength has been felt around the world, but probably more important in the Brazil country. Brazilian real has moved to some significant lows in here. So we've got large supplies in the southern hemisphere, cheaper Brazilian currency, and this is kind of limiting the buying interest here as we start the week out, Todd.
Yeah, so that simply means that because their currency is lower, it's a cheaper price as well, correct, on the world market for their products? So if you're looking at which place is the most advantageous to import from, it's likely to be Brazil for soybeans.
If you're a world grain buyer, or if you're a world portfolio manager, I would put a little bit more significance in the strength and weakness of these currencies. But, you know, as far as a producer here in the central part of the Midwest, you know, it's kind of maybe a big picture item to keep an eye on, but I don't know if I'd move an 80 acres around or liquidate some cash grain on this type of news. I don't know of a hog producer that's just as farrowing intentions to the strength or weakness of the U.S. dollar. But it is a conversational piece. It has been a conversational piece for quite some years. One of the most popular items that the analysts use during the meetings during the winter particularly is to do some overlays of prices versus currency fluctuations. And if you look close enough, you can see some correlation there. But, you know, oftentimes, whenever a country needs a product, they'll step up and buy it. Or if they don't need it, they won't buy it.
What do you see in the marketplace over the next couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks before we get into the real holiday trade, as Christmas and the winter break approaches?
Well, I've been kind of eyeballing the market here, looking at some support underneath the marketplace due to the idea harvest is wrapped up. Not a whole lot for sale here till after the first year. But the market's just kind of failing to react futures-wise. Basis-wise, there's been some pent-up demand, but we get another 2 weeks into December here. I imagine we're just going to be flat-lined. It seems the market is kind of numb to any type of news. Just a lot of uncertainties in front of us as the calendar turns 2025. You know, a lot of the trade's a little concerned about the talk of tariffs and so forth. But, you know, if talk of tariffs can get the job done and don't have to actually and implement those tariffs, I think that could be quite constructive. But it's all about trade relationship with other countries. When you look at who's doing what with other countries, man, there's a lot of activity with all these other countries developing alliances on trade, particular agricultural trade. So whatever we are handed here first of year, I think we just got to continue to work on developing positive relationships with these other countries, Todd.
Hey, thank you much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have you signed up yet for the Farm Assets Conference? It's a week from this coming Friday. Don't delay. Get yourself signed up on our website right now at willag.org. Here's the list of things we'll be talking about. Practical advice for conservation management, commercial lenders and agriculture, mental health and the farm, alternative federal crop insurance products. That's an important one. The growing region's weather, the FBFM, Farm Business, Farm Management, Farm Financials. You'll want to know what that looks like. Strategies to Manage Farm Input Cost. Nick Paulson and Gary Schnitke will talk about that. Farm policy, of course, South American crops, and we'll also have a crop sciences panel to discuss production agriculture, and of course, a marketing panel including Joe Jansen, Matt Bennett, Brian Stark, and Colin Waters. The Farm Assets Conference is Friday, the 13th day of December. Sign up today. Register now at willag.org. Ed Usset is now here. He's with University of Minnesota, an extension there, an agricultural economist professor, finished up an interesting lecture, not his, actually, I don't think, this morning in one of his classes, commodity markets class, in fact. Hi, Ed. Thank you. You got to listen this morning. You and I were talking about this just a little bit. You had the folks from Swans in to talk to your commodity markets class today?
Yes, and Schwann's, your listeners probably don't know them. They would know more by their retail brands. They are now owned by a South Korean company. They are based out of southwestern Minnesota. Schwann's itself is. And but they've got retail brands. Red Baron Pizza is one of their many pizza brands. And I learned that Red Baron is the biggest selling brand in the country for pizza. Not only frozen at the retail level, but they sell a lot in the food service. And of course, anyone with kids going to school and the school lunch has pizza, there's a good chance that's a Schwann's pizza. So it was very interesting to hear from someone in charge of buying the, you know, the cheese for the pizza, the flour for the doughs, the meats for the pepperoni and everything that goes on the pizza. And they have many other products they produce too. So it's fun, if that's the right term, fun to listen to someone talk about the procurement challenge.
Is there any one thing you hope that the students took away today that might be a lesson that we can learn as well as it relates to Schwann's and the commodities they buy?
Well, what I enjoyed, you know, my course is titled Commodity Marketing, and the subtitle of the course is Commodities Are Different. They're so different from the products we buy. You know, you go out, you buy a shirt, you buy an iPhone, you buy electronic goods. They're all branded products. Commodities are not branded. They're just ubiquitous. And margins are notoriously small in the world of commodities. So I enjoyed it when these buyers are talking about how they get their underwear in a bundle over a penny a pound in cheese, because a penny a pound is like $1 million. That's how much cheese they buy. So I was thrilled to have them emphasize that point.
It's important, and the margins, profit margins for farmers are shrinking quickly as mm-hmm. the commodity prices go down, and every penny for them on a bushel makes a huge difference. I do want to talk about a few things. We've been worried, or had been for the bulk of the year, that soybean exports had lagged. That was for the last marketing year. Mm-hmm. For this marketing year, we're ahead of pace, and USDA actually has a pretty good size soybean export number, and there continues to be flash sales. Yeah. The Chinese, others have been into the marketplace regularly. Can we expect that to continue? Is this something that you see as a friendly point to the marketplace over time?
Well, the market sure isn't reacting to it. The soybean market it's cheap, it's flat, it's not reacting much at all. I think there isn't. The last time we spoke, Todd, there had not been an election. And in case you missed it, there has been an election now. We have Trump 2.0 coming back into this. And last week I was in Canada. I got to talk to a bunch of Canadian grain merchandisers on the morning that the administration announced their intention to put a 25% tariff on all goods coming in from Canada. All I said is, don't shoot the messenger. Okay, guys, I'm here, but don't shoot the messenger. There's a lot of uncertainty around where this new administration goes on trade policy. They're pretty upfront about intentions. And of course, we only have to go back 6 years to the spring of 2018 when we declared a trade war, and things were not good for the soybean market. So what's happening, Todd? My guess is there is a thought. I don't know if this is happening. I don't talk to people in the industry, but there might be some front loading going on. People saying, well, you know, this is going to fall apart in a few months. Let's get the soybeans bought now, with the idea that it'll be cost more. Tariff policies go into effect, things will cost more, or they'll be forced to go to less economical markets than they are right now. And they're just getting it on the books now.
If they're front loading now, wouldn't it mean that later the price of soybeans is likely to go even further lower than it already is on the futures market?
Well, I'm just looking at southwestern Minnesota prices in early May of 2018. And the cash price of soybeans looks a lot like it is right now, $9.50 to $9.70 a bushel in March, April, May of 2018. Trade war comes out, and by mid-July, 2 months later, May, June, July, 2 months later, we are $2.25 lower cash price soybeans. We had cash soybeans $7.50 in mid-July, and hanging in that $7.25 to $7.75 range for the next few months, and really didn't get back over. You know, it's just a sad story to relate. By the way, basis took a big, big hit at that time too. I'm looking at basis levels in 2018 after the trade war broke out here in southwestern Minnesota, $1 to $1.20 under for a basis, which would normally be 50, 60 under. And I recall the Dakotas, North Dakota is a major soybean producing state now. They send almost all their soybeans west by unit trains, and of course to feed the Asian market. You had basis levels of $1.50 to $2 under in North Dakota at that time. So I'll go with the front loading. That's I think there's an anticipation of problems ahead.
Smart money's going with front loading. What about on corn? What do you see there?
Well, corn is, I feel like corn would have a chance to do something on the positive side if it wasn't for the soybean market hanging over it. It would have a chance. It would have a chance. But the demand side of the corn market looks pretty good. Basis levels certainly speak to things being good. Again, I've got a very southern Minnesota mentality, and you're talking to Illinois producers, and we've got ethanol plants already 20 over the March in southern Minnesota, and elevators 25 to 30 under the March, which is really a strong bid for November or early December, I should say.
That's because there's that much export strength in the marketplace. Ethanol has to be flat. It doesn't really, unless there are just so many miles being driven.
I think it's a combination. Well, particularly in Minnesota, our crop was a disappointment. So I've got, you know, we've kind of got blinders on here. The Minnesota crop was so-so at best in the world of corn and soybeans. So the ethanol plants have to work a little harder to buy corn. Our basis levels are very good, probably even relative to Illinois or southern Iowa. They're working hard. It also tells you that producers are putting it away and saying, you know, I'm not going to sell this cheap.
Should they sell, that is?
I like to think that corn could see better cash prices out into the spring. A lot better. Let's not get too excited, but I like to believe, you know, we've got roughly $4 cash corn in southern Minnesota. And I like to think that by spring we could be 20 to 40 cents higher, just based on normal seasonal patterns. And the carryouts are not that daggone burdensome. So I see some upside in the corn market. Todd, I don't know how to get my arms around the soybean market right now.
It is a difficult question. We'll know more starting January 20th, I suppose.
Yes, we will, won't we? Yeah.
Indeed.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Thank you, Ed. We'll talk with you again next month.
Appreciate it, Todd. Take care.
Ed Ussett is an agricultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension. Let's check the planet's growing regions now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Welcome to December and winter, Mark. Thanks for being with us today.
Winter for sure, Todd. Winter for sure here in the Midwest.
Will it stay cold for very long?
We don't think so. In fact, while it is going to continue for several more days, it does look as we get into this upcoming weekend that temperatures will be returning to warmer than normal levels, starting again in the Western Belt, in the Eastern Belt, and then that looks to be the trend here across much of the Midwest next week and even onto the following week as well.
You think that will persist through the end of the year?
It does look like overall that the latter portion of December, higher odds of it being warmer than normal versus colder than normal. The thing that we're watching closely that's going to dictate whether we stay warm or switch back into a colder mode will be the polar vortex. And as it looks right now, as we're looking out to around Christmas holiday, it's looking like the polar vortex is actually going to be more so up towards the North Pole rather than here in the U.S.
No, Santa Claus can keep it for a while as long as I suppose he has some snow to get to us by the end of December. But we can take that up at a later date. Turn your attention to South America, where they are in the midst of their growing season. How are things progressing in Argentina and Brazil?
Yeah, across the summer crop growing areas, conditions continue to be in really good shape. In fact, for the month of November, we saw normal to above normal rainfall across the vast majority of summer crop acreage. So soil moisture is in good shape. As we look ahead here over the next couple of weeks, Argentina will stay in good shape. Much of southern and center west Brazil. We do need to keep an eye on this drier and hotter pattern evolving across northeastern Brazil or the northeast acreage kind of centered on Bahia and the Tocantins area. Next week, some of that drier weather moves into portions of center west Brazil. So the longevity is something to keep an eye on. Again, initially, this would not be any kind of big concern, but if it lasts for numerous weeks on end, then that would begin to quickly stress developing summer crops across that area. So that is the main item to watch. The drier, hotter pattern, the longevity of it there across the northeastern soybean belt in Brazil.
Since we're in that northeastern portion of the nation of Brazil, there will be ports along the Amazon River north of Tocantins and Bahia. It had been very, very dry and low in parts of that river. Is that still the case?
Things are improving here with the start of the rainy season. And in fact, what's been in some areas actually above normal rainfall in the Amazon River Basin and its tributaries. So that is beginning to improve the situation there. And right now, no sign of any distinct drier patterns in the heart of the basin for the next several weeks.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Don't forget to visit our website. Get yourself registered for the Farm Assets Conference. That's a week from this coming Friday at the iHotel right here in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.